If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Friends, life is real. And life is full of adversity. Life does not have some adversity, but life is full of adversity. Life is by no means a stroll in the park. And I think the sooner we realize this as Christians, the better. The sooner we realize, I think some of us, because after we got born again, we thought that life was going to be a stroll in the park, a cruise. No, no, it is not. Life is full of adversity. It is by no means a jolt in the park. In life, there are moments when we have to deal with a myriad of things. There are times when we have to deal with things. There are times as Christians, as believers in Christ, in the body of Christ, in the Lord, there are times, because you are still living in this world, there are times when we have to deal with pain, we have to deal with dismissal, we have to deal with no income, we have to deal with business failure, business challenge. Although we are Christians, there are times when we have to deal with being defrauded, with being robbed, although we are Christians, and sometimes we cry foul and we say, Lord, where are you? Where were you when this happened? Sometimes we are assaulted, we are attacked. Sometimes we face death, failure, affliction. We face misery, trauma, disaster, misfortune. We face hardship. We face difficulty. Life is full of adversity. This is not heaven. This is earth. Earth is like this. Earth is full of these things. But as you know, these things are there for us to overcome. They are not there for to overcome us, but they are there for us to overcome. The thing that I've mentioned, etc., 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 the thing that I've mentioned, if the Lord wanted, he would have removed them so that we live a life that is free of them. But God has left them there. They remain. Now we are living a life that is full of these things. Life that is full of challenges. Life that is full of problems. Life that is full of difficulties. This is the life. This is the life. It is full of problems. It is full of issues. It is full of adversity. Not that life has got some of it. It's got, it is full of it. The same scripture, reading it from the NLT. If you fail under pressure, if you fail under pressure, your strength is too small. If you fail under pressure. Listen, some people, when they come under pressure, they want to retreat and they want to give up. But such is life. There is pressure. There is pressure in life. There is nowhere to run. There is pressure in life. Life is like that, friends. There is nowhere to run. Pressure is everywhere in this life. If you don't like pressure, pressure is part of life. If you don't like issues, issues are part of life. And notice, we are not in heaven yet. We are still here on earth. If the Lord had wanted us to be in heaven already, he would have long taken us in through the horses and the chariots of fire. But he hasn't done that. We are still here. If you fail under pressure, your strength is too small. Everywhere in life there are challenges and there are problems. Everywhere in life there are challenges and there are problems. Let me give you a tidbit of good news. Problems are there to be solved. Life without problems, it wouldn't be life. It would not be worth living. I say life without problems, life without difficulties, life without challenges, it would not be worth living. Did you hear what I said? Life is not an island of Ibiza. Life is full of issues, it's full of things. What makes one different from another, what makes one person different from another, it is how they handle pressure. What makes you different from another person is how you handle pressure. It's how you handle challenges. It is how you deal with problems. That's what makes us different. And this right here is the part where others succeed and where others fail. When you look at people and you envy them, when you look at people and you aspire to them, it is the only difference between you and them, it is how you handled your own pressure, how you handled your own challenges, how you handled your own difficulties, how you handled your own problems. Successful people, if they are successful in the right way, in the right manner, they are successful because they knew how to handle the problems they face in life. There is no success without issues. There is no success without difficulties. The road to success is not easy. The road to success is not an easy one. If it were easy, by now you would be what you've always wanted to be. By now you would have achieved everything that you have ever wanted to achieve, but you haven't. The road to success is not an easy road. It is littered, it is fraught with problems, with difficulties, with issues. This is life. We, especially believers, the sooner we sober up to this, the better. I say, the sooner we sober up, the better. People in the world, they've got a better grasp of this. This is why they're telling you that they are hustling. They're telling you they've got their own hustle. No, no, no. These people are not idiots. They are very wise. You as a Christian, where is your hustle? Where is your hustle? Why are people hustling? They're hustling to make it. They're hustling because they want to make it. You want to make it, where's your hustle? I say you want to make it, where is your hustle? What are you doing with yourself? Hallelujah. Challenges, problems, and pressure are very much a part of our life. Challenges, problems, pressure are very much a part of our life. When things become hard, okay, let me put it this way. When you've entered into any relationship and it was beautiful, it was joyful, everything was excellent. When things become hard, it is not time to pack your bags and hit the road. Learn how to solve problems. Learn how to manage pressure. Management. Learn how to manage. One, learn how to manage. Two, learn how to overcome. It won't go away, so you must learn how to manage. It will not go, pressure won't go away. Difficulties, challenges, and problems will not go away. We have to learn how to manage, how to solve, how to deal with them. Christians, we're supposed to be very successful people. We're supposed to be very prosperous people, but here is our Achilles heel. Here is our weakness, our problem. We spend so much time in prayer, spend so much time speaking in tongues, spend so much time reading the word, and guess what? The third step, and then we do absolutely nothing. And guess what? We get absolutely nothing. We don't want to roll up our sleeves and get our hands dirty. We don't want to go into the world and conquer. You go into the world and conquer. The world doesn't come to you. Go into the world. The success and the prosperity that we are looking for are out in the world. The money we are looking for is out in the world. It is not in a church like this. If it were, everyone would be rich, but it is out in the world. The blessing that God has meant for you, God has meant for me, it is out in the world, in the secular. There is no problem-free, no challenge-free life. Problem-free life is only in the movie The Lion King. Hakuna Matata. Problem-free life. It only exists in the movies. It does not exist in real life. All of us are challenged. All of us, we are challenged. All of us, we are challenged by the challenges of life. All of us. There is no one who is exempt. No one, not even a single one of us. We are challenged by the challenges of life. If you want to make it in life as a child of God, you need to learn to face issues, challenges, pressure, problems, head on with the determination to make it. And not rely on people. Not rely on people to help you to get to the next step, to get to the next level. No, no, no. I thought you and God are a majority. I thought you, as long as you've got God on your side, you are a majority. So you don't look to people, you look to Him. Whitney Houston told us better. I look to you. We don't look to people, we look to Him. I look to you, not to people. Oh, glory to God. The same scripture in the Message translation of the Bible. If you fall to pieces in a crisis, if you fall to pieces in a crisis, there wasn't much to you in the first place. If you fall to pieces, when we hit a crisis, you become a different person. You unravel. You break up into small pieces. There wasn't much to you in the first place. If you cannot stand crisis, if you fall apart in crisis, you are weak. There isn't much to you. That's what the Bible says. There isn't much to you. Why? Because crisis is very much a part of life. There is no crisis in heaven, but there is crisis on earth. We need to know how to navigate the challenges of life, the vicissitudes of life, how to navigate our way through them. And we have the Holy Spirit, who is our guide, who is our helper, who is our teacher, who is our advocate, who is our defender, who is our strengthener. Holy Spirit is our everything. Why do we need Him? Because in this life, my friends, the Lord Jesus Christ said, you will have trouble. Whether you pray or not, you will have trouble. Whether you fast or not, you will have trouble. Whether you read the Bible or not, you will have trouble. Whether you memorize the Bible or not, you will have trouble. Whether you live in church 7 days a week, you will have trouble. This is what it is. Whether you speak in tongues or not for 24 hours, you will have trouble. And can I say this? The more spiritual you become, the more trouble. The more you pray, the more trouble. The more you study the word, the more trouble. More and greater. More and greater. Because your spiritual muscle has developed. But here's the thing, on the other side of it, the blessings are phenomenal. The more the pressure, on the other side, the more phenomenal the breakthrough. The more phenomenal the blessing. That's how it is. I say that's how it is. If you cannot stand crisis, if you fall in crisis, you will struggle through life as a victim. You will struggle through life as a victim, and you'll go through life as a victim. In the 24 hours that we all have in the day, the difference is the choice that we make. Somebody makes a choice. You see somebody making it. You see somebody graduating. You see somebody doing something great. It is a choice that they made. The only difference among people in life is choice. The only difference among Christians, why others are driving big cars, others are driving small cars, others are driving donkeys, others are living in big house, small house, whatever the case may be, it is a choice. You still have got time. You can make a choice to change your lot. I say you still have got time. The sun is still shining on you. You still have got time. Oh my goodness, the clouds are still there. You see them, they're in the sky. Everything is still where it's supposed to be. You still have got time to change things around. You are not in a wrong country. You are right where God wants you to be. You are not in a wrong city. You are right where God wants you to be. Do not blame shift. Do not blame things. Do not blame people. Don't blame your ex. Don't blame your children. Don't blame your nasty relatives. No, you have a choice. The difference between victimhood and victory, it is a choice. Hallelujah. Life is for fighting. Life is for fighting. Stand up and fight. I say life is for fighting. Stand up and fight. Come on. Show me any one successful person who became successful for doing nothing. Who became successful by retreating. Who became successful by giving up. Who became successful by surrendering. Show me one person who became successful by cowering. No, such people don't succeed in life. This is the reason some of them, even if they fall into fortune, they fall into good fortune, they soon part ways with their fortune. They've not learned to fight. Your parents can leave you a wonderful, great estate,
beautiful, like absolutely, this is wonderful, this is great. But soon you will run it down because you are not a fighter. You don't know how to fight. You don't know, you don't have a spine, a strong spine. You don't have a strong core. Your core needs to be developed and strengthened.
If you fall apart into pieces in a crisis, it says there wasn't much to you in the first place. This is why when people, they write an exam, they fail, they fall apart. Why do you fall apart? Go back and write it again. Even if you have to write it 100 times over, it does not matter, because you know who you are, number one. Number two, you know what you want. The question is, do you know what you want? What do you want? If you quit, you don't know what you want in the first place. If you knew what you wanted, you wouldn't quit. If you don't stand, you will fall. If you don't stand, you what? That's why a lot of us have become victims, because we did not stand. We did not stand up and fight, and then we fell, and we blame all of it on the devil. No, we got to leave the devil out of it. Sometimes we really have got to leave him out of it. Friends, the Bible says in the evil day, in the day of adversity, in the day of problems, in the day of challenges, in the day of pressure, in the day of difficulties, in the day of trials, the Bible says, stand up and fight. Stand up and fight. Ephesians 6:11, that's what the Bible says. Stand up and fight in the day of problems. Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the whole armor. Underline the word armor. Armor is not a parachute. It's an armor. Everything in life is built for purpose. It is an armor. Now the Bible, the Bible I read, the Bible that you read, the Bible that we all have, this Bible says, put on the whole armor. Put on the whole armor of God. So there is an armor of God. What is an armor for? Okay, let's continue reading. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Able to stand up and fight against Satan. Able to stand up and fight against whatever that life dishes up against you. Put on the whole armor. What is an armor for? Armor is for fighting. Stand up and fight. People are not gonna hand you out things on a silver platter. The world is not gonna hand you out things on a silver platter. I say life is not gonna hand you out things on a silver platter. Put on the armor. What does it tell you? After prayer, get up and go. After prayer, after fasting, after studying the word, after waiting on the Lord, stand up and go get it. It won't come to you. Go out and get it. That's what it is. Ephesians 6:10 to 13, CEV. Look at a neighbor and say, nothing of significance ever happens by itself. But lousy things, they happen around you all the time. Now the choice is yours. What are you receiving? The lousy things or things of significance? Lousy things, they happen by themselves, but nothing of significance. You want to extend your house, sleep for 12 hours. Let's see the house extending itself. Say something of significance never happens by itself. Never does. Are we there, friends? Finally, let the mighty strength of the Lord make you strong. Make you strong. No wimps, no weaklings. God, wimps and weaklings cannot achieve anything in the kingdom. I say wimps and weaklings cannot achieve anything. They don't bring anything. Finally, let the mighty strength of the Lord make you strong. Put on the whole armor that God gives so you can defend yourself against the devil's tricks. Do not be a sitting duck. We are not fighting, verse number 12, we are not fighting against humans. We are fighting. Come on, tell your neighbor, we are fighting. We are fighting. We are fighting. What are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? Fighting we are. We are fighting against forces and authorities and against rulers of darkness and powers in the spiritual world. We are fighting. When you are sitting and relaxing, they don't leave you alone. When you are sleeping, you are vulnerable, they don't leave you alone. The war is raging all the time. They do not leave you alone. This is why you've got dreams you don't like. This is why you've got sleep paralysis. This is why you get assaulted in your sleep. What does it tell you? We are living in the midst of a warfare. It never ceases. It never does. It never does. So put on all the armor that God gives. And again, what is the armor for? Armor is for fighting. Then when that evil day comes, oh my goodness, that evil day comes, it does come. When we feel suddenly disoriented, you know, when that time comes, when suddenly you lose your bearing, you lose your marbles, you lose everything, you lose your head, you go crazy. It does come. Then when that evil day comes, you will be able to defend yourself, not cry. Not cry and run away. When the day of adversity comes, the Bible says, cry and run away. That's what the Bible says. No, stand up and fight, the Bible says. Don't run away, stand up and fight. Oh my goodness, when you fight, when the door is shut in your face, the Bible says, kick it down if you have to. Stand up and fight. Don't give up because the door is shut. No, go push it. Apply every force and power and strength, and the rest leave to God, and God will help you with the rest. This is the world in which we live. And this is the life that we live. Then when that evil day comes, you will be able to defend yourself. And when the battle is over, oh my goodness, underline that word, the battle. When the battle is over, you will still be standing firm. And when the battle is over, you will still be standing firm. Let me say this slowly. Life is a battle. Life is a battle. Why is it when you want to do something, when you want to succeed, when you want to prosper, why suddenly everything becomes so difficult? But when you want to do wrong things, everything becomes easy. It is a downward slope. Why is that? Because life is a battle. Oh, come on, someone. Life is for fighters. Friends, you believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, life is not, I name it, I claim it, I possess it. That's not life. If you thought that that's what life is, then somebody lied to you. Life is not, I claim it. Life is not, I name it, I claim it, I possess it. No, 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 no. After naming it, after claiming it, after possessing it, go and really possess it. Go and really possess it. Sadly, some of us are looking for a holiday retreat in a time of war. In the midst of a raging battle, we are looking for a holiday retreat. Without fighting, we become easy targets and we become easy victims. And we live with the victim mentality all our life. There are some believers, some Christians, that now they are born again, they've lived with a victim mentality all their lives before they become Christians. Now they are still Christians, they are still doing nothing, they're not fighting, they're not understanding the Bible in the way that they should understand the Bible. To this day, even though they're in Christ, they're believers, they're Christians, they are still living with the victim mentality. Who did what to me 3 years ago? That's a victim mentality. The things, issues, difficulties that are really sensitive, difficult issues, the every issue needs to be dealt with. It needs to be confronted head on. But you cannot continue living like that. And not only that, but we make all sorts of excuses why we couldn't do that and why that didn't happen. This is the kind of life. Why I couldn't do that? You know, I had a platform. I had connections to so and so, but I couldn't do it. It did not happen. No, 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 no. That's a victim mentality. You're making excuses. So and so promised me. They said, I'll sign you. I will sign you onto my record label, and I will do this for you. I will do that for you. Even to this day, 7 days down the line, you are still blaming the person. No, no, you've made a choice to live life like a victim. I say you made a choice, and I told you the difference between victimhood and victory, it is a choice.
We can also equally make a choice to live life like victors, like winners. That's also a choice that we make. Same scripture in the CSB, the Christian Standard Bible. And some of us, we use the lame excuse waiting on God. Lame excuse, lame, lazy excuse. You've been waiting on God for the past 20 years. Do you not see that you are deluded? Can't you see really this is a delusion? Proverbs 24 verse 10, the CSB says, if you do nothing in a difficult time, if you do nothing in a difficult time, your strength is limited. If you do nothing, don't back up and do nothing when faced with difficulty. You people of God, please, difficulties, they come to all of us, but do not retreat. Don't coil up into a little ball of shame, right? And lock yourself up. Or maybe change places. Or maybe change churches. Or maybe change jobs. Or maybe change business. No, 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 no. If you do nothing in a difficult time, you're such a loser. You don't run away in a difficult time. You face difficulty, you stand up and you fight. I love this. Listen, you stand up and you fight with the word of God. I say you stand up and you fight with the word of God. And can I tell you something? It is not called a sword for nothing. It is not called a double-edged sword for nothing. It is not called the sword of the spirit for nothing. And now here's my question to you. What is the purpose of a sword? Sword is not for display. Sword is not for ceremonies. Sword is for fighting. Hey, this one is for fighting. It is the sword of the Spirit. Stand up and fight with the word of God. It is a weapon of war. The word of God is a weapon for fighting. It is a battle weapon. Take the word of God and fight. What do you do when you fight? That means you stand on the word of God. And after you've stood on the word of God, you rise up and you go get it. When faced with difficulty, friend, when faced with difficulty, do not lapse into old bad habits. Some of us, instead of standing up and fighting, because now we've suddenly hit a difficult time, we've hit a crisis, we've hit a problem, a challenge, you know what we do? We run back into our old habits. We go back into our old weaknesses, back into our old drinking habit, gambling habit, emotional shopping and buying habit. It doesn't change anything. It only makes matters worse. It does not change anything. Drugs have never promoted anyone. There's never been anything good that has ever been attained from taking drugs. There's nothing good that comes out of a gambling habit. There's nothing good that comes out of a drinking habit. There is nothing good that comes out of emotional shopping and buying. You are only making a fool of yourself. Please do understand that right now you are living under delusion. Why? Because the problem is real, but what you are doing is unreal. Faced with difficulty, you go for a bottle. That's unreal. But the problem is real. After you take the bottle, you get sober, the problem will still be there. Don't be a weakling. Don't be a wimp. The difference between you being strong and you being weak is the choice that you make. The Bible never says give up and do nothing. The Bible says stand up and fight a good fight of faith. The Bible never says give up and do nothing. But what the Bible says, stand up and fight a good fight of faith. What is it? It is a fight. Why fight a good fight of faith? Because life, the whole of life is a fight. Haven't you heard when people are sick and very sick and they say they are fighting for their lives? Why? Because life is a fight. That's why the phrase, fighting for his life. Fighting for her life, fighting for their life, because life, L-I-F-E, is a fight. Friends, children of God today, let us not accept defeat. Let us not accept failure. Let us not accept limitation. Let us not accept it. Let us not take it. Let us not take the fact that we're told that this is the ceiling. You can only go thus far. You cannot go beyond. Let us not accept it. Let us not accept the fact that they said you were born in South Africa. You will die in South Africa. No, the world is big out there. For all I care, go to Dubai. Go to the United Arab Emirates. Go somewhere. Go to New Jersey. Go to Charlotte, Carolina. Just go. Go to the country called Venda in South Africa. At least you're in another country. Just go. Venda is another country in this country. Go to Botswana, it's around the corner. A beautiful, absolutely beautiful country. Go to the country called Lesotho, rolling mountains, undulating mountains, a wonderful, awesome country where you breathe air. Not in Joburg, where you breathe, I don't know what. People of God, this is the teaching of the Word of God, to go for us to go for what we want and to go hard at it. Fifi, my associate pastor, go for what you want and go hard at it. Go for what you want. Please, you don't need to wait for the pastor. You don't need to wait for your church to give you approval. Go for what you want and go very hard at it. Go after your dreams. If God has approved your dreams, go hard after your dreams. And go hard for what you want with no prospect of fail. Win or lose, success or failure is first determined in the mind. The mind. How far you will go in life is determined in the mind. How much you will achieve in life is determined in the mind. How much you will ascend in life is determined in the mind. How far you will go with God, how far you will go in the Lord, it is first determined in the mind. This is why if you have no prospect of failure, if you have got no prospect of failure in your mind, in what you are doing, you will keep trying no matter how many times you fail. If you've got no prospect of failure in your mind, oh my goodness, in whatever you are doing, you will keep doing it. It doesn't matter how many times you fail, but you won't stop. Why? Because failure does not register in your mind as failure. Now here's my question to you. How does failure register in your mind? How does your mind interpret failure? Do you know that our optical vision, the vision that we have, the eye does not see everything as we see it right now. The eye interprets. Everything that comes is not the way it is. It's probably upside down, it's wobbled, it's whatever, right? But the eye interprets. Now when we see, because the eye gives us a vision that is already interpreted. Now, when we see it properly. It is the same thing. How do you interpret? How do you interpret failure? How do you interpret difficulty? How do you interpret challenge? Listen, when they say rejected, how do you interpret? When they say dismissed, how do you interpret? Oh my goodness, how do you interpret it? You see, the mind. Whatever you do, please don't give in to the circumstances. I say, whatever you do, please don't give in to circumstances. Any and everything can always be achieved. I say, no matter how impossible it seems now, any and everything can be achieved. Your house, honestly and truly, it can become a double story. Because that's what you want. But now it seems so impossible. I say, your house can become that. You can have the transport business that you are looking for. You can be a big shot in business if that's what you want. Even though at this point in time, it may seem impossible, but it does not mean that it's not achievable. Impossible does not mean not achievable. Proverbs 24:10, the same scripture in the contemporary English. Don't give up. Don't give up and be helpless in times of trouble. Don't give up and be helpless in times of trouble. Listen, the only time we are helpless in life, the only time we are helpless in life, it is when we stop believing and we stop trying. The only time we are helpless in life is when we stop believing and trying. The stopping believing and trying, again, it is the choice that we make. It is the choice. If the bank has rejected you seven times, you can decide to give up on the seventh time. But it's the choice you make, not the bank. I say it's the choice you make. It's not the bank. The only time we are helpless in life, it is when we stop believing and we stop trying. 2 Timothy 1 in the NLT. 2 Timothy 1:7. The Bible says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity and cowardice." God has not given us the spirit, or rather a spirit of fear, of timidity, and of cowardice. What does it tell you? God did not create cowards. God did not create cowards. For God has not given us the spirit of fear and timidity and cowardice, but of power. Come on, but of what?
Power.
But of what?
Power.
What is power for? To play power boats with. Power really is to play power boats with. What is power for? Jesus had power. All right? Power without measure. He had the Spirit of the Lord without measure. He was blanketed in power. What did he do? He went about achieving. He went about to conquer and he kept conquering. That's what power is for. Now, here's the thing. God has given us the spirit of power. Right? But why are we so afraid? It's a conundrum of note. God has given me the spirit of power, of love, of a sound mind. God has not given me a spirit of fear. But why are you so afraid? Why are you such a contradiction to yourself? How come I say a bank broke? Friends, listen to me. God indeed has not given us the spirit of fear, of timidity, of cowardice. He did not create cowards. There are no cowards in Christ. All right? There is no reason for us to be afraid if we have the Holy Spirit. But here's the thing. We believers, and this is critical. We believers, with all the power that we have, we are still sitting in positions that are not admirable. Really not admirable. And this is why we are afraid. We are afraid. We are afraid to try. We are afraid to try. We are afraid to try out new things. We believers are afraid to try out new things. Number one. Number two, we believers are afraid to venture into the unknown. We are afraid. We believers, number three, we are afraid to take risks. That's why up to today, even though God has given us power, we are still afraid. Afraid to try out new things. Afraid to venture into the unknown. We don't want to go. We don't want to go. No, no, no. As long as we don't know it and we are unsure, we don't want to do it. Oh my goodness. We believers of all the people in the world, we are afraid to take risks. There's no success. There's no real success. There's no real achievement without risk taking. There is no real success in this life. There is no real achievement in this life. There is no real prosperity in this life without risk taking. It doesn't exist. How sure I am is going to work. How sure I am I'm not going to lose. How sure I am I will be safe and protected. You see, this is the reason why you remain where you are. You say you've received the spirit of power, but you are living a life of fear. If life gave reassurances, everyone would be successful. Because you know, I'm doing this is going to work. I'm doing this is going to succeed. I'm putting my money there. I'm going to have my yields. But life does not work like that. Life has got no reassurances. I say life does not work like that. We Christians, on the other hand, we are not getting ahead. What do we have? We have calculation paralysis. Christians, we have calculation paralysis. We are too calculative. We are too careful. Christians are too, they calculate. We are too careful. This is why you see God, He takes you from one problem to another problem. He takes you from one difficulty to another difficulty. He takes you from one challenge to another challenge. He takes you from one trial to another trial. Even though you are busy praying and reading the word, He is trying to strengthen you. Your problem, you are too weak. Now He keeps on, He empties you from vessel to vessel. It's not the devil. It is not by mistake. Your problem, you are too weak. God can't use you, can't achieve anything. So He takes you from problem to problem. You say, Lord, when is it going to stop? No. The spine is too weak. The core is too weak. God can't do nothing with you. So He keeps on taking you from trial to trial. That's why the more you pray for the trial to go, the more it persists. You don't understand that this trial has come for a purpose. Has come to strengthen you, to strengthen you. The loss that you suffer has come to strengthen you. The failure you suffer has come to strengthen you. The thing that you tried to do and they did not work out, God is fully aware. It has come to strengthen you. It is your response to what happens to you. It is not about what happens to you. I say we are suffering from a diagnosis, from a situation called calculation paralysis. We are not daring. We are not bold. We are not courageous. Oh my goodness. I say we are not daring. We are not bold. We are not courageous. As such, our achievements are average and mediocre. If you are not daring, if you are not bold, if you are not courageous, even the results will come back average, will come back mediocre. That's why we give 50 cents to God and say, I believe God. There's no faith here. You gave 50 cents to God and now we say you believe God. There's no faith here. Not that we are talking about money. Just making an example. Listen, you people of God, Caleb. Caleb was daring. Caleb was bold. Caleb was courageous. He was not calculative like us. He was not careful like us. Oh my goodness. To an extent that God said, this man has a different spirit. God says, Caleb has an excellent spirit. Why? An 85-year-old saying, this mountain is mine. God said through his servant that this mountain is mine. Now at 85 years old, he was still daring. He was still bold. He was still courageous. He was taking risk at 85, going into the battlefield. 85, taking risks. And God says, now this is different. This is excellent. And God gave him the victory. Without daring spirit, without bold spirit, without courageous spirit, how can God give you victory? Caleb was a risk taker. This man was prepared to die for what he believed. How do we know? He said, the word that the servant of the Lord spoke, I'm willing to die for it. Says Joshua, I'm 85 years today. I'm going in, sir. I'm going in. If I die, I die. Like Esther. Oh, my goodness. Like Esther. If I perish, I perish. Even girls are bold and daring and courageous. And God says, now this is a girl I can work with. She says, if I perish, I perish. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua 1, 6, 7, and 9. Now, listen to what God says. Listen, so that you can understand the mind of God. Listen to what God says. God says, be strong and of good courage. Joshua, be strong, be of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Be strong and be of good courage. Listen, These blessings, we may never possess them if we are weak as we are. If we are afraid as we are. There are nations waiting for us to take. They are there for the taking for us. But we are not bold and courageous. We are not strong. We are not strong.
Verse number 7. Only be strong and very courageous. I come, is it only my Bible? Only be strong. So only be strong. Only. Don't be weak. Only. And number 2, not only that, but be very courageous. Not just courageous, but be very courageous. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Listen to verse number 9. Have I not commanded you, Joshua? Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Dismayed means don't be discouraged or be intimidated. Do not be intimidated. God has not given us a spirit of timidity, has not given us a spirit of fear, has not given us a spirit of cowardice. Do not be intimidated. Do not be intimidated. You cannot go for what God wants you to go for if you are intimidated. Do not be intimidated by people's status. Don't be intimidated by their positions of power. Don't be intimidated by their money, their finances, their financial status. Do not be intimidated. God says, Joshua, be strong, be courageous, and go for it. Amen. He's still saying the same thing today. This is the caliber, the character of people that God works with. Because of your fear, you have robbed us of your factory. Because of your fear, you have robbed us of your company. Because of your fear, you have robbed us of your mall. Because of your fear, you have robbed us of your village. You are supposed to build a whole village. Because of your fear, you have robbed us of your book that we're supposed to have written. Because of your fear, you have robbed us of your gifts and your talents. Because of your fear, we were supposed to be going to your Christian festival, but because you are so afraid. So afraid. One thing's to come to you. No, life doesn't work like that. Sir, ma'am, life doesn't work like that. Things don't come to you. You go to them. You go for what you want. What you want, it does not come to you. You go after it. You go after it. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and be of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. What are you afraid of? On the other side of the spectrum, God says, be bold. God says, be strong. This is not muscles. No, no, spiritual. That's the spirit of man, spirit. That's why Paul says, be strengthened by the Holy Spirit in the inner man. Be strong. Go for it. Why are you not strong? Cannot achieve anything. If I fail doing something for God, don't take that failure from me, please. It's my life's purpose to please God. If I fail, if I die trying to do something for God, that's what I was born for. If I die trying to build a mansion, what a loss. Oh, come on, church. What does the Bible say? No one to date has ever equaled the giving of the son of David called Solomon at the dedication of the temple. To date, no one has equaled that offering. Not even a single person. Why? It was a daring offering. It was a bold offering. It was a courageous offering. It was an outlandish offering. It was an otherworldly offering. And guess what? After he did that offering, God visited him by night. Why? Because God, he deals with strong, courageous, and bold people. He says,
What do you want me to do?